Go to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. And the book of Romans is God's romance with humanity, isn't it? God's romance with humanity. There are a lot of... Do you have any Bible questions? Have any Bible questions? What?
10th chapter.
You're in the 10th chapter of Romans with about verse number... Verse number 16 is where we're going to start. Verse number 16 in Romans, the 10th chapter. The book of Romans is like a recap of all of the four Gospels in all reality. If you only had the book of Romans, you could preach the Gospel and just about every doctrine in the Bible with just the book of Romans. We see so many things about God in the Bible. And last Wednesday night I talked about secrets from Genesis. Secrets from Genesis. We talked about secrets that are there. And I quote a lot of extra-biblical histories. And I preached a series about three or four messages on the extra-biblical evidence that Jesus was born, where he was born, who was his mother, and he didn't have a father, supposedly, on earth. I mean, this is all was happening back then. But in Roman history, in his enemies writing about him, and they accusing him, we know what he looked like. What color hair did Jesus have, Marilyn?
Blonde
hair. What color eyes did he have?
Blue
eyes. We know that from history. We don't know that from the Bible, but we know that from history. We know that Mary was his mother, and we see all of this, and history and science and medicine all agree with the Bible. We don't have any problems with that. A lot of people, when you go to church, basically, in many churches, you leave your brain outside, you come in, and you believe what the preacher says, and then you go home, and you're happy because you feel better. That's basically their psychological sessions in many, many sermons today. We see many things in the Bible. From extra-biblical history, how old was Noah's wife? How much older was he than Noah? Her name was Naaman. We know that. We don't get that from the Bible, but we know her name was Naaman. She's 150 years older than Noah. Now, she's probably the oldest woman to have a child. Okay? Now, we know that Sarah was 90 years old when she had the child, but that's nothing. How old was Moses' mother when she had him? She was about 70 years older than her husband. Remember? She was 128 years old, Jochebed, when she had a child. All right? So we see these things. There's a lot of miracles in the Bible. I have no problems at all in believing that these miracles in the Bible. The history attests to all of these things. All right, you go on down. We find Mary. Mary was engaged to Joseph. He was quite a bit older than she was. And anyway, they had a contract, a marriage contract, but they had not consummated the marriage yet. And she ends up being pregnant. And he's afraid he's going to divorce her, give her a divorce, which she would probably, nobody would have her after that. But God appeared to him and the angel and told him, Gabriel told him, do not fear to take this woman unto you because the child is of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we know from medical science that not one drop of blood from the woman comes into the child. And we know from the Bible that the sin nature comes through the blood of man. So we can have a miraculous virgin birth, can't we? Okay? We can have that. We see all down through history, we see a lot of things happening. If you study history, science, archaeology, and the Bible, you see all kinds of things happening. And all of them do not disagree with the Bible. The what we call the archaeologists and what we call geoscience of the earth. G comes from gay, from the earth. We find out, we talked about Wednesday night, that the earth was Pangea at one time. And Pangea, that's two Greek words. What's that mean? All earth. We know that the earth and was in one place, that God did this. There is no problem. And then we have the scientists. Now here is earth and here is water. And we find out that above the earth was oceans in the sky. An ocean in the sky. The earth did not have the same atmosphere before Noah that it has. Before Noah, it did not have the same atmosphere as it does today. We've seen this year a tremendous amount of water, don't we? Look out here. Look at all the green and all the floods we've had everywhere, constantly. Up there in Mammoth, they had 50 and 60, 70 feet of snow in places, and they were skiing over the top of the tallest trees. Water. The Bible says that there was a universal flood. And all of these things we see in history. Geologists talk about, you go out here and drill for, I used to drill oil wells. I could go way down in the earth, a mile deep in the earth, and we go down in the earth and we find clam shells and what we call fossils. Now, a lot of people believe in Christian churches today that the earth is only 6,000 years old. What's wrong with that, Vincent?
Well, that's only the amount of time
that man has been on the earth. That's what we're talking about.
It's a lot older than that.
When was the earth created? In what period of time?
Eternity.
In eternity past. It's not created in the 6,000 years. It was created back there. The Bible says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth HaShemayim, Vayetzer HaAretz. In one of the beginnings, Barashith. Beth, the word Beth there in Hebrew, and Barashith, that's a Greek or Hebrew preposition on page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. You look it up. And then Rosh, here we have Rosh. Rosh, that is. Rosh means beginning, head, the extremity. Your head, the top of your head is the extremity of the top of your body, isn't it? My head used to be that much taller than what it is right now. And I got squashed down in my old age. Rosh. Rosh it means in Beth, Rosh, beginning. And then we have plural, so that means beginnings. So in one of the beginnings, it says, Bara, God, he had created Elohim. It says, Et HaShemayim, which means the universe. And then it says, we et ha'aretz, and it says there, and he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place to capture life, to hold life, sustain life. Now, the book of Romans is telling us the story of God's romance with mankind. Okay? God's romance with man. Why did God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's world. Jesus Christ, here we have eternity past when God created the heavens and the earth. Then in space and time, so many thousand years ago, whatever it was, according to what chronology you have, anywhere from 6 to 10,000, 11, 12, 15,000 years ago, he created Adam. Now, according to the Septuagint idea of chronology, when was Jesus born? The Septuagint. After 6,000 B.C., so he actually started the 7th millennium when he was born. Okay, now that's one of the chronologies. We look by chronologies, we see all the chronologies, and they're not set in stone, people. They're not set in stone. There was a period of time when God created man, and it wasn't 1 million years ago. It wasn't 100,000 years ago. It was some period of time that wasn't too long ago. If you go to Fish Lake Valley, where I lived half of my life, you go up there, there's two caves in that valley. And you know how old the occupation is in those caves? Occupation, 6,000 years. In other words, there have been human beings in those caves for 6,000 years. How long have people been on this continent? 6,000 years at least. Because this continent, in the days of Peleg, it says God divided the earth. And before he did that, according to this, what happened? What did he do before that, Vincent? Confused the languages. And the people went over there where they could hear each other, and then he began to divide the earth. Have you heard of Atlantis? Okay, Atlantis is the lost continent that sinks into the ocean. Many anthropologists now, and what we call geologists, believe that Atlantis was really America. And that when it slipped over the horizon, they thought it sunk. You know what Muhammad's idea of the sun, when the sun sets, it sets in a muddy stream, because he thought it was setting in the ocean out there, or wherever he was. He looked like it fell in a hole, and it went down in the water. Did it? No. Where is it there? The sun turns. The sun doesn't set. The earth turns. And the sun, our sun, is the center of the universe. And the Bible teaches us about all of this, doesn't it? If you want to see how beautiful this is, you go read the ancient book of Enoch. And it'll tell you all about the seasons and how God created all these things. And Enoch was the seventh man from Adam. Okay? That's Noah's grandfather, by the way. Great-grandfather. In the book of Romans, we have a recap of all of this information. Lots of information in the book of Romans. And the 16th verse, it says, in New American Standard, however, they did not heed the glad tidings. And he's talking about of Israel, isn't he? Israel's been a problem child for God, hasn't he? Israel's always been a problem child. God called them out. He called Israel out. Right here of Egypt. They went into Egyptian bondage down there. We have Jacob. Jacob is Israel, isn't he? Why, what does Israel mean? Israel. Israel. What does that mean? Yes, Sharon. A man who wrestled with God. Did Jacob actually wrestle with the pre-incarnate Christ in the brook Jacob? Yes, he did. He wrestled with God, and he wouldn't turn Jesus loose until he blessed him. Jacob was a strong man. In the Bible, I've heard many people preach, and they say, oh, Jacob was a sissy, he was a mama's boy and all that stuff. That boy was the breadwinner of that family, and he was a strong, 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 big, strong man, very powerful man. Jacob wouldn't turn loose to Jesus until Jesus blessed him. And the Lord gave him a new name, Israel, the man who wrestled with God. El, on the end of his name.
Ish. Ish. Ish.
And then Ra-El. El on the end of that is God. The man who wrestled with God. Now it says here, however, they did not all heed the glad tidings. The word glad tidings there is actually the gospel. It says in the Greek, it says, all uk pontes hypo akousen to euangeliou. It says, but not all. The word obey there, it means to obey a command, like in a military. It means when you hear the voice, you do what the voice says. They did not hear the voice and obey the voice. And it says there, the euangelio is what we get the word gospel out of. Gospel. They did not believe the gospel. Did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Yes. Now that's way back yonder over here. Here's Israel, there's Jacob right here. He goes down into Egypt for many years, and then for 400 years they're down in Egypt, and then God sends Moshe. Moshe means to what? To draw out or to rescue. That's what Moshe means. Moshe. That's his name. He sent Moses. Now, this is really something, how God does these things. Jochebed, she has this, Amram, Jochebed, they have this kid. She's a lot older than him. I mean, she's a lot older than him. She's 128 years old when she has this kid. And this is Moses' mother was his great aunt, and his mother, wasn't she? All right? Because Amram married his aunt, which was his father's sister. Okay? Now, she's pretty old and everything else, and God is still in control of all this. Okay? I want you to understand that. And she has two older children. Who were those? Who were his two older children? Who were her older children? What?
Miriam and Aaron.
Miriam and Aaron. Okay? These are older than Moses. And then she has Moses. And in the meanwhile, Pharaoh, the Jews, the Hebrews, are multiplying so fast and so much that he is afraid that they're going to outnumber them and do a fifth column thing. That's what Islam is doing in America. They're outnumbering because they have many wives and they have lots of kids. Gobs and gobs and gobs. And every country where they've ever gone into, they become where they outnumber them and they demand to live under Sharia law. And they set aside the constitutions of any country they're in, and they want to live under their own constitution. That's what you call the fifth column. And this is what Pharaoh is afraid of. What, by the way, what does Padre-O or Pharaoh mean? What's Pharaoh mean? Marilyn, you remember that? Pharaoh. What's Pharaoh mean? Huh?
Something about gold.
No, Pharaoh, Sharon.
The guy in the big house.
That's what Pharaoh means, the guy in the big house. All right, the guy in the big house. You got that one down there? The guy in the big house. Why did you remember that, Marilyn? The guy in the big house. So Pharaoh, he said, I want to kill all of the Jewish boys. Now, Moses' parents hid him for a while, didn't they? But what did they do? What were all the other Hebrew women doing with their babies? They were building little arks. See, you don't get this. I didn't tell you about this, but that's what happened. They were building little arks. And the Nile River is full of what? Big fish and crocodiles. Big fish and crocodiles. So they had to expose their children and put them in the Nile. And off they went. Well, after a few months, Moses' family, Moshe, now he wasn't called, how many names did he have? Moses had about 10 different names. History tells you that. The Bible doesn't. History tells you all. Miriam gave him a name. Aaron gave him a name. His grandmother gave him a name. His grandfather gave him a name. They all go by all these different names. Moses has got gobs of names. But the one that we remember him by is the one that Pharaoh's daughter called him by. Because that was an inspired name. So, Moses' family builds this little ark for him, and they expose the child. And they're just praying. Now, do you think every one of those family, of those little boys, didn't pray for their children when they exposed them to put them in the river? But some crocodile will come up and snap, 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 snap. And they eat them. Or the big fish eat them. Or they drown. The little thing turns over or whatever. We see all of this happening with them, but God took control of this one little event here in time. And so it goes down there. Now Pharaoh has demanded that they expose all these kids or else. And they're exposing by the kids by the hundreds probably. But this one little child that's got lots of names, they put him in the ark and send him down there with a prayer. And it just goes happens out there while Pharaoh's daughter is out there bathing and cleansing herself every morning. The Pharaohs of the Egyptians were extremely clean. Did you know that? The guys shaved themselves every day and they bathed themselves. They could not stand filth at all. This is the royalty. They bathe every day. When when Joseph was taken out of prison, they bathed him. They shaved him. They didn't like to see beards. So they shaved him all up and took him before Pharaoh, and they had him. He wouldn't. Nobody, no dirty person is going to go before Pharaoh, because this guy, they are immaculately clean. So she's out there cleaning herself every morning, and this morning she hears a baby crying, and this baby, she has, God makes her heart have compassion on this baby, and she said, "Go get the baby for me. Go get that little basket over," and she brought it over, and she sees his little eye, and she falls in love with him, and she said, "Moshe, Moshe." The gods had given to him, and then here Miriam's sitting out there in the back, and she says, "What? Can I get a nurse for you that can breastfeed this child for you?" And so Pharaoh pays for his raising, and he's raised in his mother's house probably for at least 12 years. They knew all about you. Go watch Cecil B. DeMille's, Exodus and Moses and all that kind of stuff. You see all of this stuff. Moses knew who his mother and father was. They knew well who they were. Don't be fooled by the big screen sometime. So we see all of this coming about, don't we? We see all of God's masterpiece and his plan. And we see it in the book of Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans and look at it a little bit more. This gospel, and it says, "For Isaiah says, the Lord, who believed the hearing of us?" Who believed our hearing? Who has believed our report, our gospel? Did Israel believe the gospel when Jesus came? Did they believe the gospel? No. We find out that in Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19, Israel was, well, they wanted to kill Jesus, didn't they? They absolutely demanded that Pontius Pilate killed him. Now, you can go in history and read Pontius Pilate's letter about all of Jesus' life. He had met Jesus before. And one time he came in there into the palace. He sent for him to come to him because he heard him. Malchus, one of his servants, had heard him preaching. He said, "This is a great man. This guy is greater than any philosopher that ever lived." So Pontius Pilate sends for him and brings him in there. And Pontius Pilate is really afraid for Jesus' life. The first time Jesus spoke publicly and said that he was a Messiah, what happened to him? It was in Nazareth, wasn't it? Nazareth. He would be in Nazareth. They tried to murder him right then and shove him off a cliff and stone him for blasphemy because he said he was a Messiah. And they knew who his life was. If you read the Arco volume, you'll find out the Jews knew who Jesus was. They knew where he was born. Remember when the Magi came? The what we call the three wise men, Magi's. You know what Magi comes from? Magistrates. They were rulers. These were kings. And they came from the east, and they probably heard the gospel that Daniel told them about. And so they come to see because they know the very day that Jesus is going to be born. So they start traveling, and they're looking because they said there's a star guiding them. It may not have been a star, but it could have been the time in the stars. By the stars, we tell time, don't we? We tell time by it. So we see all of this coming down, and Romans, Paul in Romans, is telling us about the gospel that's been known all the years of Israel's, even before Israel's existence. Back in Genesis, the ninth chapter, and Noah, by the way, Noah. That's the way you say it, Noah. I was talking to this Jewish man on radio the other day as I was traveling to Nevada, and I quoted him. He said, "Do you know a little?" I said, "I like Hebrew. I like to study Hebrew. I teach Hebrew." "Really?" So I quoted Genesis 1 and 1 and 2 for him in the Eastern and the Western dialects of Hebrew. And then I quoted in Aramaic, Psalm 22 and verse 1 in Aramaic and in Hebrew. He says, "You know this language." You know, he said, "I am so surprised." And so we started playing back and forth. where we see this, but all the way back, the first 10 names in the Bible, from Adam to Noah, tells about the whole gospel that's going to happen. And 9th chapter, verses 24 through about 27 or 8, we have Noah's prediction that the Gentiles will take over the house of Shem. In other words, we're going to have a Gentile church. Now, this was prophesied in the book of Genesis right after the flood. That's a long time ago. The Bible, the book, there's one book with one story. One book with one story. All of it. One book with one story. He said, however, they did not heed all the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse number 17. So faith comes from hearing. That word is not just hearing there. That means to hear and what? Obey. Hear and obey. He said, then faith, not out of hearing only, but through the rhematos, is what it says in Greek, rhematos. We talked about rhema last week, didn't we? Rhema. What is rhea a rhema? You remember that, Vincent? Rhea a rhema.
Is it something to do with a message? Or
it's a message. It's an edict. It's a declaration. The declaration of the gospel. Who has believed our declaration? Our statement. The statement belonging to Christ and about Christ. It's Christu there. Christu.
Christu.
On the end of that word there, Sharon, what case is that in? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. The eight cases. It's genitive, the case of possession. Jesus said, it says, in my word. In my word. The Bible from Genesis through Revelation is one book, one message. Let's look at that message. We talk about, in churches today, they're talking about Jesus all over, aren't they? They have different Jesuses, don't they? One's just a prophet. The prophet, the Jesus of Islam is Esau. Now, Esau was born of a virgin, but he did nothing in his life. He just did little miracles as a little child and everything, and then he never died. And he's not going to have any dying on the cross. What is the only prescription for salvation? It's the Evangelion, the gospel. What is that? That Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He was born at exactly the right time in history. That he died on the cross. They was buried in a grave for 3 days. He was dead. Dead. Okay? His body was dead. Israel, when they came to Jesus, they did not want to believe the gospel, did they? That's what it's talking about here. They didn't want to believe the gospel. And they said, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. How many signs did he show them? God, I mean, he raised the dead, he healed the blind. What was the one thing that only the Messiah could do? Heal the blind. Heal the blind. No one else ever healed a blind man. But Israel was blind and he couldn't heal them, could he? Because they did not want to be healed. But he did all these miraculous things. He was born of the right family. Joseph was supposed to have been on the throne of Israel. And who's on the throne? Esau's descendant. We have Esau and we have Jacob. Who is the promised son? Who is the heir? It's not Esau. It's Jacob. It's the nation of Israel. But who do we find? Anthony and Cleopatra. You ever hear of them in history? Anthony and Cleopatra, what did they do to the land of Palestine? They set up a king. The Jews asked them to help them set up the king, to choose who their king was. So they chose a descendant of Esau to be the king. See how the devil works all the time? So they put Herod in there, and Herod came in there and he killed all the Jewish priests that he could find down there, and some of them escaped down to the Qumran caves. You ever hear about the Qumran caves? The Essenes down there? That's down by the Dead Sea. That's where they found the oldest scrolls in the world of the Old Testament. All the Old Testament. Except for one book. Right, Esther. Only one book they did not find down there. What was the most copied book at the Dead Sea Scrolls? Do you remember? Marilyn?
Enoch.
The book of Enoch. Because Enoch is eschatology. They figured the Lord was going to come. And among these people, there were many believers, because John the Baptist would go down and preach to them. Now, these people baptize somebody every day. Every time when they got up in the morning, they get baptized. There's baptistries. I've been down there to the Qumran. That baptistry was full of water all the time. Every morning, everybody gets up and baptizes each other or baptizes themselves. Every time they went to the bathroom, they were baptized again. When they ate, they were baptized again. Very like the Jew, I mean like the Egyptians. But this was spiritual cleanliness. They said that the priests in Jerusalem were a bunch of fakes and charlatans. What did Jesus say? They were a bunch of fakes and charlatans. Pontius Pilate interviewed Jesus, and when he walked into the praying, he said, I'm Spanish and Roman. He said, there's no fear in me. I don't have fear. I'm a soldier. But when that man walked in here, he said, my feet were like they were fastened to the floor. And I looked and I saw that blonde hair, that golden hair, and those blue eyes that just looked through you. And I could not speak. He said, I could not speak. He said, I felt as if I was in the presence of one of the gods. Now you have to believe he believes in lots of gods. Pontius Pilate became a believer. Five times he declared Jesus innocent. And then washed his hands because they kept demanding his crucifixion. And he said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. They said, let his guilt be upon us and our children. And it was. That's why they got dispersed. But Paul is telling us now they're going to be dispersed. Moses in the book of Deuteronomy said this would happen, that they would reject and God would punish them and scatter them, and that he would bring them back in the Moses again, Moshe. That's a long time ago. This is just after the Egyptian bondage, and Moses never got to go in the promised land at all, did he? What was the event that made him not be able to go into the promised land?
He struck a rock
when he's supposed to talk to it. He told him to strike the rock, didn't he? Now, that rock that he struck first was the first coming of Christ when he was struck and crucified. And the next time he's supposed to speak to that rock. But he did violence to the type that rock was. And he hit it again. Jesus is not going to be struck down when he comes back. He's going to be the King of Glory, the Adonai HaAdonaiim, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Are you learning something? You're learning something about God's Word. And it's your Word. If you got a Bible in front of you, it's your Word. It's God's Word. He give it to you. It's a miracle that you have it still here today. He said, so faith comes by hearing the edicts, the gospel of Christ, belonging to Christ. Verse number 17 now. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the declaration of the gospel of Christ. Number 18. But I say surely, they have never heard, have they? Why didn't Israel hear?
They didn't want to.
They stopped their ears. They screamed. There in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a boy out there, a Stephen, preaching the gospel. And he tells and rehearses the whole history of Israel and tells how God has called them out, how he's blessed them, and how he's given all the word of God to them. And they're saying, yay, 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 this guy's all right. And then all of a sudden he said, and you crucified the God of glory. And they killed him. They assembled the Sanhedrin right there and illegally. And who was the head of the Sanhedrin at that time? Who was the man that was there that was the head of the Sanhedrin? Who was the officer of the Sanhedrin court? Paul, which his name was Saul at that time. And he held the garments and he told them to stone him. And not only did they stone him, what did they do to Stephen? They went and chewed on him like a bunch of dogs. They bit his flesh with their teeth. Now the Greek says that. They kept chewing on him, biting him like dogs. And Jesus said, I will go to the Gentiles. Moses said, they're going to go to the Gentiles. The gospel will go to the Gentiles. Noah said, the gospel will go to the Gentiles. And Paul repeats all the history of all of this in this And he says, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? All the first, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation, a no people. These are a no people. These are heathens. These are dogs. By a nation, by dogs without understanding, I will anger you. What was the whole purpose of the church when Jesus called it out? To carry on the gospel. Because he knew that Israel would reject the gospel. So he called them out so that they would carry out the gospel. And all the church originally was, most of it was Jewish. But some of the dogs came in. Remember the Syrophoenician woman that came? Remember the woman there at Shechem, at Jacob's well that came, the Samaritan? And when Jesus went to Samaria the first time, they heard him because of this woman. We find later on in history, we find a Gadarene demoniac out there. And there was at least two of them. But one of them became a missionary. He went into the area of what we call Decapolis, which is over in Jordan, where they had all of these cities and all the way those cities. And they evangelized all the way down into Damascus area. And that's where Paul was going to kill him when God struck him down. The gospel, all of those churches there was started by that Gadarene demoniac. He said, go there. He said, I want to follow you. He said, you go on. You're a missionary right now. Get with it. He was a good one, wasn't he? How about that old hussy there at Samaria? That woman that had a lot of men. What about her? She made a pretty good missionary too, didn't she? And Mary Magdalene, that was a prostitute, a courtesan. And she had seven demons in her. And she was an actress, and all, I mean, saying these prostitutes, these courtesans, and they would really court these rich people. She was a courtesan to the rich, and she was wealthy. And she got saved. She changed her life, didn't she? Things happen. Let's go a little bit further. I will make you jealous by that which is a no people. By a no people without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who sought me not. Go back to the book of Genesis. Go back to the book of Genesis, the ninth chapter, very quickly. Genesis 9. Now, after the flood, then they plant a vineyard, and now the wine is alcoholic. Everything's changed, and Noah gets fallen down drunk. He goes in his tent and lays there with his wife, and one of the boys comes in, and according to the Mishnah and the Talmud, this boy, Ham, goes in there and he cohabits with his mother. And she has this child called Canaan, which is a illegitimate child, okay? And a child of incest. Now, God is able to look down that line now. This boy is born. And he's going to go down into the land of Canaan. He's going to establish that land. And these people are going to be bad people. Now, not all of them is going to be bad. Some of them get saved. One harlot down there got saved, Rahab. And then we have Ruth the Moabitess down there that gets saved. So not all of them. There's all by choice, by volition. If you're here today, you have a choice whether you follow God or not. God's not making you follow him. You make up in your mind what you're going to do with your life. And you, if you want to be saved today, you believe the gospel. Now, he says right here, in verse number 22, Moab woke from his wine, and he knew what his youngest son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. This is the child that's going to become, according to the Mishnah and the Talmud, a servant of servants. He's going to be a slave of slaves. He shall be to his brothers. And he also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant. Now, what's going to happen? Israel, this is here we are over here at the flood, and God is looking all the way over here. This is hundreds of years, okay? Hundreds of years. The earth hasn't been divided yet. But God says, what's going to happen already? He comes over here and he says that Israel is going to go to the land of Canaan, the land of promise, and they're going to take over this land, flowing with milk and honey, and they didn't build any house there. They didn't plant any vineyards there because Canaan will be their servants, the Canaanites. They're going to build this land for them. Let Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth. Japheth means enlarging or spreading. Japheth is the Anglo-Saxons. Okay? If you're an Anglo-Saxon, this is a Japhethite. And by the way, who were some of these very powerful Japhethites? This nation calls Geppetto their father, the Greeks. The Greeks. And northern Greeks are blue-eyed and blonde hair, aren't they, Mary? All right. You see this. Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Let him take over the gospel. And let Canaan be his servant. Now, this is history before it's written. Let's go back into the book of Romans again. Back to the book of Romans. Wherever I lost it. And Isaiah said, very bold, and says, I was found by those who sought me not. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. They had their pagan gods sent to him. And then verse 21 says, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and an obstinate people. What are you today? Are you disobedient or often are you going to akuoe? Are you going to hear and obey? What are you going to do with your life from this time on? You make a decision today with your life. Now this message goes out all over the world. They downloaded in Saudi Arabia and all over Yemen and places all over. It will be downloaded today. Now if you're out there and you're hearing this message, you can either reject it or you can hear. Akue, hear and obey. Will you hear and obey today? Will you ask the Lord into your life? Will you ask Him to say, I believe in Jesus, that He came and died for me? I mean, all the evidence in the world is there. We have it in physical science, medical science. We have it in archaeology, geology. All of this, we have the Bible. Plain. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with Jesus, the Jesus that came? Are you going to look there as Pontius Pilate looked? He said, I'm afraid for your life, he told Jesus, because he said, you're making some really strong statements to these people. And he said, back off a little bit. He said, no matter what happens with you, I'll always be there with you. And he said, there's going to be a time coming, Pontius Pilate, that you can't do anything to help me. O prince of this earth, you think that you have all these powers. But he said, this is what's going to happen. Prophecy again. Pontius Pilate wrote a letter to his father-in-law, which was Tiberius Caesar, because he was married to one of Tiberius's concubines' daughter. And he writes a letter to him, and he tells him all about Jesus, tells him about him dying on the cross, telling him about him being raised from the dead, and all the people that he had healed and everything. And he tells him all of this, and Tiberius Caesar puts an edict before. This is history now. Before the Roman Senate, and asked them to accept Jesus as a god. And Tiberius Caesar protected the young church from the Jews. And those Jews caused themselves to be annihilated. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Who were the Sicarii? How many assassins were in Jesus' church? Judas Iscariot was an assassin. He was a Sicarii. They are what it turned into the Jewish mafia. They went and settled the island of Sicily later on. Okay? They are the ones that stood off the Roman legion, the 10th Roman legion at Masada. And they're the ones that took those sharp knives. Sicarii means daggers. They're the ones that cut all those people's throats so the Roman soldiers couldn't kill them. That's the reason why that temple was leveled. That's the reason why Israel was scattered all over. The Sicarii. Who was another Sicarii? Simon the Zealot was a Sicarii.
Paul
the Apostle was in the Sicarii again. We see all these Sicarii's, and we see them causing the destruction. Jesus looked at Israel and he said, Jerusalem, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you like a mother hen does her baby chickens, but what? You would not come. Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you believe? Will you ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins? Will you do that? Wherever you are in the world. This goes Australia, New Zealand, China, India, everywhere. I remember one time they wanted a missionary to come in my Sunday school class and at Valley Baptist Church, and a missionary came from India. He looks on the door and he says, "You're Dr. Phillips? We're studying your stuff over there in India. All the preachers study your stuff. This is how we prepare to go out there and teach the students." And so it's going all over. And so they hear these messages wherever they are. If you're out there in one of these countries, you can be saved by Jesus by asking Him to forgive your sins and believing and calling upon Him to save you. Vincent, what song do we have?
258.
You heard the gospel today from the Old and New Testament from one book. That book is quite a library of books, and it means one thing: believe. There's one story. Believe, trust, and believe. Trust and obey. That's how you do it. The word obey there, it means like a military. When they say march, left, right, whatever, about face, it means you do it. Are you ready to march and join Jesus' army, brother? Father, I pray if once here or out there in the world that does not know you, that they will ask you into their life today, that they will believe and trust you. Now I ask these things, I send this message out for you.